Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Wow, that worship was just so amazing. Whew. Sounds like we have a 50-piece orchestra, but that's wonderful. I tell you, you never get tired of that. Even us as musicians that maybe are getting older, you know, the Bible says let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So, but I want to be shouting it out and playing and singing and praising in my heart until I die, and even actually after I die. So praise is just going to continue. Quick announcements is tonight we have our 6:30 service, and Maribel's going to be speaking. Augustine. Brother Augustine is going to be speaking tonight. And so tomorrow night, is that the one that's a surprise or it's something special? Okay, let's hear about tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night's going to be called The Rope of Hope, and I'm once again going to be teaching on Rahab and holding on to the rope, but I think you're going to really enjoy it. It's some very exciting and new material that really touched my heart. I mean, this blessed my heart. You know, every time you read the Word of God, you see things that they are like, I never seen. I'm sitting there at my desk thinking, I never seen this before. How did I miss this? And that's what is going to happen tomorrow night. So, and actually, I'll be bringing my red rope, so you'll be able to see it once again. But God is really, really good, Pastor Ken. I have a very special request, and I'm going to say this without crying, I hope. I just got word that a very dear friend of mine is very, very near death. Most of you know her. The last event she attended was my birthday party, Rose, and if you would just please pray for her and her daughters, that she is critical in ICU at this time. So I would so appreciate if you would do that for us and the girls.
Amen. You know, why don't we just stop right now? Father God, we just lift up our sister Rose, Father God. And you've watched over her entire life. Father, we pray that your presence would be in that room. Father, we pray for divine healing. We pray for a divine touch. We pray, Father God, for her family. We lift her up right now. We call out the name of Rose. And we declare that you are the Alpha and the Omega. Father, in the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. No time right now that, you know, the thing that I'll pray for you later. Why pray for you later? We'll pray for you right now. So praise God. And let's continue to pray one for another. You know, the fact that we don't see each other every day of the week doesn't mean that we can't and shouldn't be lifting up one another in prayer. Amen. Right. Brother Allen, I need your prayers. Even if I don't see you tomorrow, I need your prayers. I need all your prayers, and I'm guessing you need my prayers. So let's lift up one another. And today is Communion Sunday, which is always amazing. Thank you, Miss Gracie. It just appears, just like Jesus just appears. Are you ready to get started? All right, so today we're going to talk about trusting God through it all, no matter what. And I want to start out with, I don't want to call this a prophetic word because, but Paul would often say, I believe this is from God. So the thing that I believe that I'm hearing from God is that we need, at least, well, if the word is for me, but I'm going to make it for everyone, that I need to clothe myself in humility. That I feel like the Holy Spirit was saying there are lots of positions, there's lots of assignments that God has, but just like job qualifications, you have a job qualification. One of those qualifications is having humility. I mean, if you need someone that speaks Spanish, and that's on the job qualification, must speak Spanish, and most of God's positions that he has available, you go, God, can you use me in ministry? You got to look at the position, and it says, requires humility. So I think that, and I believe that's true, that God can't use us if we have pride. God can't use us if we think we're all that or that we're doing something for God. We are merely the vessels. We're just the cups. And I got to tell you, if I ask you for a glass of water, I honestly don't care if it's in a gold cup or a paper cup. You know, the cup isn't the thing, it's the water. It's Jesus. So that was kind of my word for myself is that humility is everything. You know, and I think it's an attractive quality to have humility, and it's a very unattractive quality to have spiritual pride. So ministers are always guilty of that. You know, they'll get three or four pastors go. Then I had that experience. I went out to a lunch with a bunch of pastors, and it was like everybody was outdoing one another about, you know, well, we just did this. And one group said, you know, we installed $12,000 lights to light up our stage. We just did that. And then it was kind of my turn. They were going around, and I said, we had a light in the bathroom, and we completely swapped that out. This guy just looked at me. They had no. So the scripture of the day chosen by Miss Pam here is a good one. And it's one that it's so good that I don't think we even believe it. And Romans 8:28 says, and we know, boy, that's powerful. We know this. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those that God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. I love that because it says that Jesus is our brother. And that those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. There's so much acceptance in there that God called you, that God specifically saw you. And it says if God is for us, who can be against us? I always rewrite that to say, if God is for us, does it really matter who's against us or what's against us or how many demons are against us? I don't care if Satan's against me as long as Jesus is for me. But it also has that those different layers that if we're called by God, that God has accepted you, that God is working. That everything is working out for the good. So even when we can't see the good, God is behind the scenes and he's making it good. I want to say it this way, God's relationship with you. Like you as a parent, when you have little kids, you always are aware of where those little kids are, right? You're talking to your friends, but you've got that side eye. You're watching that little one, you know, that to make sure he doesn't get into the pool and all of a sudden, you know, you're watching. Even when you're not watching, and I believe that God is watching you that way. Not in a bad way, but his eye, he's watching you like a protective parent. That if his eye is on the sparrow, his eye is definitely on Alan Ferland. Amen. Alan, you're right in the line of fire, so.
It's so true that we need to learn to trust God. I trust God with my life and situation. And here's the situation. Sometimes we trust people or we trust in things that cannot help us. You know, I always use the example of the chair. We trust that every time we sit down in that chair, it's going to hold us up, but yet we don't trust God to hold us up with his mighty right hand. You know, I had an interesting experience here going back about 15, 20 years ago when we had the old pink chairs. I went to sit down. I was here at the church by myself, and I went to sit down in one of the old pink chairs, and it just fell to the ground. It suddenly broke. And here I am sitting in the church by my, not no longer sitting, but on the ground, sitting on the ground, and I'm saying, stupid chair, stupid chair. I counted on that chair to hold me up, and it failed me. So, and you know, and here's another situation. Months ago, just only recently, we took Sandra to the doctor, and we kept taking her and kept taking her. And I always counted on the doctor, on our doctor. We have a good doctor. And I counted on her until she said, I don't know what's wrong. And I wanted to scream at her and say, well, why did you go to school? Where did you go to school? What kind of degree do you have? You know, what's wrong with you? You're the doctor. You know what? There's only one person that you can really trust. I had a best friend once that said, I'm your best friend forever and ever and ever. She's not even in the building right now or on the radar. You know, we trust things that will fail us, but we don't trust God who will never fail us. And we need to trust God with our situations, and we need to trust God that he will do what he says he will do. You know, one of the things that God spoke to me, the Holy Spirit spoke to me at the beginning of the year was this, that said, you know, I will use the weak and I will use the wounded. I want to do something in your life, but you've made me too small. And what he was telling me in my spirit is he was challenging me. The Holy Spirit was challenging me. You have asked me for things that are possible. I'm asking you now to no longer ask me for things that are possible. I want you to ask me for the impossible. I am the God of the impossible. I make the impossible possible. And you know, someone came to me not very long ago, probably 6-8 months ago, with a very, very difficult situation. And it was just awful, awful. And I was like, trust God. And they were like, what are you talking about? Trust God. It's that simple. It's that easy. My situation just went from bad to worse. What do I do? Trust God. Trust God, though you go through the valley of the shadow of death. And you know what? God has already proven to you that he can be trustworthy or you wouldn't be here today. You can trust him to keep you alive because you're here. And the Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Any tongue that even rises up against you will be brought to shame. And if God is for you, no one can stand against you. In fact, it says it like this. Here's what it actually says. It says, who can stand against you? Because that doesn't just mean a man. That means any demon in hell. No demon in hell should think that he can go against a blood-bought child of God. And here's what Joshua said, and I love the spirit of Joshua. Wow, did Joshua have a fighting spirit in him. Wow, did he have the anointing all over him. Joshua 1:5. There shall not be any man that is able to stand before you. That means, by the way, that doesn't mean in front of you. It means there shall not be any man that is able to stand in your way. And that's what it means, in your path, that can stand in front of you and block your way all the days of your life. How would you like to know that no one can stand in your way all the days of your life? As I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. I will not fail you, and I will not forsake you, which we know is give up on you. God was with Moses. God was with Joshua. God was with Joseph. God was with Esther. God was with Paul. God was with Peter. And God is with you and I. And we are going to prevail, but we must trust God and not the things of the world. Keep your eyes on the cross.
I always thought it was amazing that the idea of a bunch of unwanted children in an orphanage, and I want you to imagine that that's you. You're in an orphanage, and you're unloved, and you have no family. You live in this orphanage. And all of a sudden, here comes Jesus, the Father and the Holy Spirit, into the orphanage, and they're there to choose a child. And they look at you and they say, oh, that's the one, that's the one, that's the one. You isn't that almost too much to believe, and yet you should believe that because you were chosen just like that. Or if you like to chosen to be a bride, to go, why? You ever think, I would never be the one that is chosen. So you might think that if God came into this church and said, I'm looking for one person in this place to anoint and to be a best friend. And you would think, if that happened right now, what would you think, Debbie Ramos, if Jesus said, you're my choice? And you would almost think, but why isn't it somebody else? Sometimes in the world, you'll get a promotion. It'll be your new job. And you'll hear about how other people did it and what they did. But you have to come to the realization, that's my job now. That's my authority now. I loved Catherine Coleman. Who didn't? She was so anointed. She's dead. the only Catherine Coleman that's going to be here today is going to be Pam, right? I'm saying Pam can't say, I wish Catherine Coleman was here, because God would say, she's not here. I'm calling new people. And I've called out Debbie's name, and I've called out Pam's name. But what you have to do is realize that God has called your name. He has not forsaken, and you are not his second or his last choice. When they're picking sides for the game, and you're thinking, I'm going to be the last choice, and they pick you first. It's like when God says, there's something about you that I see in you. And the reason I would call Debbie's name, if I was God and I had to pick someone, I would, if I said, pick one person in this church that most likely for God to use in a powerful way, today I pick Debbie Ramos. Mm-hmm. Today I pick Debbie Ramos because her heart is always there. She's always pushing forward in faith. No matter what the situation, she's always saying, Janice is the same way. I've never heard Janice say, this is the saddest day, that things are depressing. I don't care. And I know that in Janice's life for the last 20 years, not every day is the best day, but you would never know it from asking her. How you doing? She says, I'm blessed. I'm highly faith. You know why? She's speaking words of faith over herself. She's saying, Janice has decided if no one's going to prophesy over me, I will prophesy over myself. I am blessed. I like that, Janice. That's what Jabez did, right? Jabez. He declared blessings over himself. So I want you to know, as amazing as Paul was, he is never going to come to this church and preach. He's gone. But we can still preach his sermons. But not only has God called you, but those scriptures that said who he called, he justified, who he justified, he called. Let me say that whatever ministry God has appointed you to or called you to, he has also given you authority in that area. The reason the enemy is not bound is because no one's bound him. You have authority over the enemy, but you have to be speaking those things. You have to be speaking, prophesying over your life, prophesying over this church. We have what we have been saying. Boy, that steps on our toes because we realize that we've been saying, I have nothing, and of course it's all going to be horrible, and it's, you know, it's going to be awful. But to those that would declare the things of God, eventually we're going to be like those that laughed. It's going to be double laughter. Okay, I'll pass this over. Here's the baton.
He's so funny. You know, I was being interviewed once, and someone asked me the question in the interview for New Faith Church, said, how did you choose to be a pastor? And this was my answer. I never chose that. You know, the sad reality is, and most of you have heard me say this, I would have loved to have been a ballerina or an actress or something like that. I mean, come on, be honest with yourself. Really, would you have chosen to, you know, I'm going to work at the church, I'm going to be a minister, I'm going to be a worship leader? God, you didn't choose that. God chose you. God chose you for that responsibility. God chose you to be in that family, to have those children and minister to those children. And you know what? The rewards are so great. You know, the Bible says that you are set apart. You are set apart. Do you know you are set apart for a reason, to do something great for God? And you may be sitting here, and this is what you are probably thinking in your life. Well, if God wanted me to do something great, he sure is taking his really sweet time, because I haven't done anything quite so great. And I don't know exactly what my calling is. In fact, I'm going through hell right now. Pastor Pam, God hasn't chosen me for anything exciting except to march through the gates of hell, if that's what, in my situation. But let me say something about that, if that's you. God makes a promise, and many years it doesn't come to pass, for many, many, many years, until God decides that it should. And I want to tell you about your hard marching through hell situation that you're going through. That is preparing you. Moses spent 40 years in the desert. He could have sat there and go, so you think you're going to use me, God, right? Well, when is that going to happen? How about Abraham? God gave a promise. How long you think it took that promise to come true? to come to pass. How about Joseph in the prison, in the pit? He could have told God, wow, that was some cool dreams I had that are not going to happen, God. But that's where you're wrong. That's where I'm wrong. God has a day on his calendar, and he has marked his calendar. Do you know that God doesn't work off of the Gregorian calendar? He doesn't look at that time clock with the AA batteries back there at all. Do you know he works off of heaven's clock? Do you know he works off of heaven's calendar and not our calendar? Therefore, it will not be done in our time. It will be done just in time, in God's time. So God has something for you to do, and you can't afford to quit or give up. And that's what the enemy wants you to do. Let me speak a prophetic word to you. God wants you to quit and give up now before that day comes to pass. Before God puts you to that assignment, the devil is counting on you giving up before that day happens. But you are not to give up. And here's the thing. In order for God to use us, we have to trust God with our life. And to trust him, there's an old song called Trust and Obey. I learned it as a kid. I could sing it now. Trust and obey, there is no other way. I didn't know what that even meant. Trust and obey, there's no other way. I do now. Trust and obey. You can't just say you trust God without obeying God. That's a sign you trust God. So here's the thing. No matter what you're going through, and if you're not where you need to be, you need to get rid of whatever is standing in your way of doing God's will. Again, I'm going to real quickly go through the story. Some of you have heard this story. You've heard me tell it before. In April of 2003, Aaron Ralston was hiking in the Colorado Canyon, and a boulder pinned his arm down, and he was going to die. He was not going to live. In order to live, he had to amputate his own arm. That's what he's famous for. Things sometimes have to get worse before they get better. But let me tell you something. Get rid of anything that is sucking the life out of you, that's taking your very life, that's in the way of your destiny. He had a destiny, and that destiny was to tell his story. But he had to cut his own arm off. The Bible says if your eye offends you, whatever it takes for you to serve God, we need to get our life right, and we need to start trusting God to do big things in our lives and to use us in his kingdom. I believe that God wants to use every single person in this building, no exceptions, for something great.
All right, so the last time that I spoke to you, before Pam interrupted me.
Here's the baton.
No, I was saying that, and I had time to think about this, which is why I really like ministering with my sister the way we minister this, because it allows me to think about what I just said or what the Holy... It gives me a little bit of time to think. And I just finished saying to you that Paul is gone and we can't bring him here to preach, and Catherine Coleman's gone, and all those people are gone, so they can't come and preach. But that's almost not... So I'm going to make an exception to that. There's someone that died that could still come and preach for us. And I said before, I don't like to say something's a prophetic word, but this next one is a prophetic word, because what I'm going to read to you is from Jesus himself. So nothing in this scripture is even from Paul. This is direct quote from Jesus to the church. Doesn't that in itself, whatever I'm going to read, get you excited? That this is going to be something that's a sure word of prophecy. If Pastor Ken says something, who knows what he's talking about? But if he's reading the words of Jesus, so could you receive that? And this is going to be powerful, that Jesus is going, imagine that Jesus just came here, took the microphone, and said, I just want to say something to you as a church. You would definitely listen to it, right? Okay, here it is. This is from the book of John, by the way, the 15th chapter. You are my friends when you do the things I command you. I am no longer calling you servants, because servants don't understand what the master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. You didn't choose me. Remember, I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. And remember the root command, love one another. So that hit me. And sometimes when you read the word like that, when you realize this is Jesus speaking directly to me, saying, I've chosen you, you're a friend, and you're not a servant, and I'm not hiding things from you. And even the fact that we think that we chose Jesus, okay, I guess I'll choose Jesus, that he chose us first. Through the Bible, as we have said, is the story of our family, including our dysfunctional family. But we see the story of Joseph, my brother Joseph, and what an example Joseph was throughout his life. What Joseph is an example of, sure, it's faith. Sure, it's a great move of God. But it's an example of not allowing our hearts to be hardened by life's situations. Him and Job had reasons that they could have been bitter. And when we talk about having a hard heart, that's really what we mean, is having bitterness in our heart. That scripture that says, what a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And if we allow bitterness because our situation, because of our finances or our health or the things around us, the discouragement of this world, all of us are going through hard times. And I think we can all relate to this. If I said, as an exercise, that you're going to take 10 or 15 minutes, I'm going to give you all blank paper, and I want you to write down every negative thing going on in your life. Write down all the negative things. You might say, I need a little bit more paper. I need more paper, and I need more time. But imagine if you did that. If I said, that's your whole purpose for the next 10 to 15 minutes, list every negative bad thing that's going on in your life, and things that even might be in the future. List future things too. You know, could you imagine how discouraged you would be after if you meditated on that list? I bet by the time you finish, you'd be ready to cry. You'd be ready to take medication, and you just think, "Wow, my life! I never realized until I listed everything how messed up my life is." But guess what? Guess what? The second part of this is. What if we didn't do that at all? What if instead we said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you? What if I said, you're looking at things wrong? What if I said, yes, in every life some rain must fall? And I know that we've all got things that we have to deal with in our life. But what if instead I said, the next exercise, the only exercise, I'm going to give you paper, and I want you to count your blessings. I want you to, if you can see, I want you to write it down. If you can hear, I want you to write it down. If your left foot does not hurt, write it down. If you don't have the flu, write it down. If you have food to eat, write it down. If you have air conditioning, write it down twice. Because you probably got air conditioning in the church, air conditioning in the car. You know, I feel sorry for you. You got to walk from the church to the car without the air conditioning. But you see where we're going with this, and this is a spiritual principle that as a man thinks, so is he. And the Bible does tell us to give thanks in everything. Joseph, somehow, Pam, in the middle of those bad circumstances, how did he do it? Joseph, you're in prison. You've been falsely accused. I think if you were to ask him, and this is hypothetical, how are you staying positive? I think he would say, Pam, I'm glad you asked. I had a dream that God gave me years ago. And it's to me, that dream is a promise. And so even though I'm going through this negative stuff, I'm holding on to a promise. And that's how we do it in our life. Even though you hold on to it, we are holding on to a promise.
It's so true. And one of the things that I was sharing when I was at New Faith at the Dream Conference is people will say, you know, oh, you've got to pursue your dream. You got to go after that dream. And here's what I told that group of people. I said, you are not to pursue your dream. You might be pursuing the wrong thing. You are to pursue the giver of the dream. I think that Joseph would have said, he would have said, I had a dream. But I'm not even trusting in that dream. I'm trusting in the one who gave the dream. He had to know it was from God. You know, whatever our situation, we can trust God. And here's the thing. If you had never been through a bad thing and God delivered it, you might have a basis for not trusting God. But you've been through some hard stuff, haven't you all? Haven't you been through situations? If you had not been in COVID with ICU, how would you really know he was the healer? How would you really, really know it? And I'll bet you any amount of money that if you could speak to Esther today, she would be saying, I'm so glad I listened to Mordecai, who represents the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad I took a stand. You know, there's people today, they won't stand up for you for nothing. They'll let people say things and they won't rebuke them or stand up for you. But Esther took a stand. I'll bet you that Daniel, if you could talk to Daniel today, he was going, I faced the lions and my knees were shaking, but I'm so glad I prayed. I'm so glad I did. Nobody's going to say they regret serving God. And I just want to say, so if you're going through, Paul and Silas in the prison, you know, nobody's going to say, I'm sure sad I praised the Lord through that one. I'm sure sad I trusted God. Boy, he really let me down on that one. You're never going to say that. Never, ever. So whatever you're going through, you just continue to praise. And here's the thing. It may be bad stuff. And you may have enemies in your life. Here's the thing, Pastor Ken. Joseph was in prison. Now, if Pastor Ken gets in prison, I'm going to go visit him. Mom's going and Dave's going. We're all going to get a bus and we're going to go visit him, right? Because we love him. Please do. Bring him some books. You know, if he's in the nursing home, bring him books. He's always said, if I ever go to a nursing home, just bring me books and leave me there. I'm like, okay, no problem. Not at all. But here's the thing with Joseph. There ain't no family coming to visit Joseph. They put him in the prison. You know, when he was thrown in the pit, there ain't no family going to throw him a rope, is there? They put him in the pit. And so I just want to say to you, if you have no help in your situation, my help is in the name of the Lord. My help is in the name of the Lord. You may have lost friends. You may have lost family, but you haven't lost God. You may have been abandoned, rejected, betrayed, but nobody, and I mean nobody, can stop the plan of God for your life or for mine. And here's why. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil so much that my cup overflows. The oil is all over you. The anointing, people can sense it. No matter if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and the COVID is stalking you, I will fear no evil. You are with me, your rod and your staff comfort me. And here's another one. Surely, positively, goodness and mercy shall follow you. Put your name right there. All the days of your life, and you and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Your situation doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter if you face every demon in hell. The dream that God has in your heart that he has given you. Once Joseph had a beautiful robe and it was torn from him. It was desecrated, the robe that his earthly father gave him. Whatever position you have that has been given to you by this world, it has to be surrendered to the world, back to the world. But that robe was replaced with a royal robe. God has plans for you. And here's the scripture I want to, as I turn this over to Pastor Ken. God will turn your sorrow into joy. Psalm 30 and 5. Weeping may endure for a night. You may have had some hard, long nights where your pillow was soaked with tears. But joy comes in the morning. There's another day ahead of you, and it's good. It's a good day.
So anytime there's like anything that could be a prophetic word, it's up to us to decide whether what we want to grab that and take that. Just like there's communion up here, but in order for you to take communion, you're going to have to take one of these communion things, open it up, and you have to possess it. You have to make it your own. And I have another word that I believe could be a prophetic word that you can grab if you want to, or you can just leave it sitting there. But I believe this would be for some people here, that God says that he can restore your past. The things that you thought were long dead and that were long past your time and long past your ability, that you thought you would never see those days again or do those things again, that God can restore and repair and bring back those times. So that's encouraging to me, because Satan wants to tell you that God's dreams for you have died, or that maybe your time has passed. And what you may not realize is you may have many, many projects left that God wants to involve you with. Let me tell you a couple of illustrations. And by the way, I like illustrations because the Bible said Jesus taught with parables, and without using parables, he did not teach. In other words, his whole teaching ministry was based on word pictures. A farmer did this, a certain woman did that. So, because I love aviation, I think I get all these examples from aviation. But one time, I always like flying at night. I prefer flying at night because the city of Chicago is just beautiful. The lights, I mean, and it's, believe it or not, it's easier to find airports at night, because you, in the daytime, everything blends together. At night, you just see these rotating beacons. You know, you can see like five airports. Anyway, so I took off. This was years ago. I took off from Midway, and the sun had just set when I took off. It just so happened that when I was taking off, the sun had just completely set. And I began to fly towards the lakefront. I like flying along the shoreline there. And as I was climbing higher and higher, the sun came out again. The reason is that from the ground level, the sun was beyond the horizon. But when I got up to 3,000 feet, I could see almost the entire sun again. I thought, that is so interesting that down there the sun is set. But by climbing higher, I've actually made the sun go in reverse. Now, it turns out that the earth rotates at over 1,000 miles per hour. And so when the plane was invented, there were no planes that could go that fast at the time. The speed of sound is 700 miles per hour. So, but when we've gotten these jets that now go past Mach 1, the scientist in England, he got the idea, he made a video of it. He said, you know, if the earth is rotating at 1,000 miles an hour, and I had a plane that was going 1,000 miles an hour, and I aimed it at the sun, in other words, I was heading due west, so you wait until the sun is setting, right? This is the experiment. The sun is setting, and this is what he actually did. It was kind of fun. He waited until the sun was right on the horizon. It hasn't set yet. You could see the full sun, and he set his speed at 1,000 miles an hour. He matched it to the earth's speed. It's actually a little bit more than that, but anyway, so he set it for the rotation of the earth, and he just sat there, and the sun didn't move. It wasn't going up. It wasn't going down. It was sitting, and he did that for like 10 minutes. He's like, I'm now traveling at the exact speed of the sun. He said, we're going to lower our speed. He lowered the speed, and he watched the sun set. And without climbing, just staying at the same altitude, he kicked it in. And he was now going faster than the rotation of the earth. And the sun rose from the west because he was going faster than the rotation. By the way, there's a video of this. It was Brian Cox who did this. He used a military jet to do this. But I think you see the spiritual application. And I'm going to be done with this. I'm going to pass it over to Pam and probably Alan. In our life, we can be surrounded by dark clouds, but I guarantee you, if you could climb high enough, you'd break through and you'd see the sun. You know, you can all, no matter how bad the thunderstorms are, if you can climb higher, you can eventually get to clear air. And the idea of him chasing the sun, I would say this: if you keep chasing the sun, and I mean the Son of God, If you keep following hard after the Son of God, then the sun never has to go down, and we really are eternal beings.
We're getting ready to close. I just want to leave you with these final words and just share a very quick testimony. You know, there was a time when I was praying and, you know, not in a good place in my life, and I was telling God, I just have nothing to offer you. I have nothing to offer you. I'm just not in a good place. And immediately I heard him say, give me your pain. Give me your pain. Just hand me your pain. That will be your sacrifice. Whatever it is in your life that you can bring, even if it's just your pain or your brokenness, your situation, he'll take it. He'll take it. Every one of us are one step, one choice away from a better life, from an amazing life. Our destiny is yet ahead of us. I don't know what is going to happen in my future, but I know who is going to happen. I know that God is with me.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.